time is it?
It's Mother Money time!
I have a big family. And here's our studio audience, the Elmira Swarm, with the Buster Bunny theme song! Time hello for our favorite puppet pal, Plucky Duck!
This is my part in today's show? A stupid puppet? I quit!
Isn't he cute, kids?
He's a stinky goo head!
The Elmiras are revolting!
Hello folks, TFU and Mike here, and what you're about to hear is episode 65 of Tooncast Beyond. This is our tribute to the passing of Mr. Joe Oleski. This is our second part of our tribute. This is going to be myself and Doug Abel from Talking About My Generation, talking Tiny Toon Adventures Season 1. Wanted to let everyone know that Tooncast Beyond has been going on for a while. There was a hiatus between episode 59 and episode 60 and 60.5 and all that stuff. There's going to be another hiatus here after episode 65. I am about to embark on something I have never done ever with podcasting. It's going to be a cartoon review podcast, much like the TFG1 podcast or the Beast Unleashed podcast or the Transformation Animation podcast, where we reviewed Generation 1 Transformers, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, and Transformers Animated, or like over on Powers of Grayskull series with Kevin and I reviewing all four series of the Masters of the Universe cartoons, or Showtime Synergy the Gem Show. It's going to be a cartoon review show with myself and Michael Wilson. Not going to reveal what the name of the show is or what cartoon it's going to be reviewing, but it's basically, you're going to know. I've been posting this on Twitter and Facebook and stuff the last few days and everything. 104 podcasts, 104 days of summer. So you're going to know what we're going to review just by that. But yeah, I'm going to be starting a daily podcast with Michael Wilson. We are going to pre-record a lot of the stuff, so that way we can get it released daily. It's going to air on the Geekcast Radio Network and on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes and all that stuff from June 20th until sometime in September. So because it's a daily podcast, it's basically 2.5-3 months, something like that. I've never taken on something like this, so yes, I know I'm crazy. I've done great, because most of the time when I create podcasts, folks, Steve Megatron and I have Podcaster Meets World coming up later this year, where we're going to be reviewing every episode of all 7 seasons of Boy Meets World, and then the episodes in whatever seasons that Girl Meets World gets. That Boy Meets World for Podcaster Meets World is going to take Steve and I 2.5 years. As far as publication. So that's usually how I plan my podcasts. I plan them to last 2.5 years. With this new one, podcast organization is the only tip I will give you, plus the other tip of 104 days of summer. This one is 104 podcasts in 104 days, and I need to dedicate my time to that. Because I do a lot with Tooncast Beyond and M-Wire and GCR and all this and all. Like, I do a lot of podcasting. This is a project that I'm very excited about. This is going to be something that is going to be extremely epic in my mind. Hopefully this will bring a lot of people to the Geekcast Radio Network's website, geekcastradio.com, our Twitter, Facebook pages, all that stuff. I'm hoping everyone will enjoy it. I know Michael Wilson and I are going to have a blast talking about this cartoon. So, I think that's about it. Like I said, coming up next, Tooncast Beyond, Episode 65, Tiny Toon Adventures, Season 1. Thank you so much to everyone who has commented. May Joe Oleski rest in peace. Let's get on with the show and have Doug and I talk about Plucky Duck, Hampton J. Pig, Buster and Babs Bunny, No Relation, all that good stuff. So it's time for Tiny Toons.
We're tiny, we're toony, we're all a little loony. And in this cartoony, we're invading your TV. With comic dispatchers, we crack the ball with sensors. On Tiny Toon Adventures, get a dose of comedy. So here's at the Acres, it's a whole wide world apart. Our home sweet home extends alone, a cartoon worth of art.
The scripts were rejected, expect the unexpected.
On Tiny Toon Adventures, it's about to start.
They're furry, they're funny,
they're
just done.
That, sir, is an investigated fabrication. It's wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
I say it's duck season, and I say fire.
I tell you, T.S., it'll be a smash. Honey, I Shrunk the Laundry, starring Daffy Duck. What do you say,
Philistines.
Ah, light of my life. I'd never take you for granted. You're the only one for me. And I love you, my precious statuette. Oh! What's up, Docs? Welcome to a special edition of Tiny Toon Adventures. When Warner Brothers asked me to introduce this show, I said, for you guys, anything. As long as I'm paid in advance. I don't accept checks. Thanks. Ah, yes, Tiny Toon Adventures, a fine show. It all began quite a while ago, but I remember it as clearly as if it were a flashback.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond, episode 65. It is continuing our homage and remembrance, thank you. Good Lord. Of Joe Alesky this week, we are talking about Tiny Toon Adventures Season 1. I am your host, TFJ and Mike. Joining me from Talking About My Generation is Doug Abel. Hello.
Hello, sir.
So Tiny Toon Adventures Season 1. So, ladies and gentlemen, when I made the transition and reformatted Tooncast Beyond into the season format, I was kind of going off of the whole thing that cartoons nowadays, or in the last 15 or so years, have anywhere from 13 to 26 episodes per season. Going back, you know, to 1990.
Oops.
And going back even further than that, I keep forgetting that that was, you know, back in the days of first-run syndication. And first-run syndication, you had to have the magic number was 65. So, there are 65 episodes in Season 1 of Tiny Toon Adventures. There is no way in hell neither one of us have 65 half hours to deal and watch and waste on Tiny Toon Adventures. Don't get me wrong. We both absolutely love the show. But there's just no way. This is coming from a guy who, in 2009, when Tooncast Classic launched, It took me 2 weeks to watch all four Thundercats DVD sets to do an overall Thundercats episode back in Tooncast Classic Episode 5. So it took me 2 weeks to watch all those Thundercats episodes. There's no way between the time we recorded and posted Duck Dodgers last week and now that I could have watched all 65 Season 1 episodes of Tiny Toons. Now, when eventually we do get to season 2s and season 3s of series for Tiny Toons, it'll be a lot easier for us to watch the episodes because then they eventually went to, I think it's two 13s or a 13 and a 10 episode run for season 2, season 3. I don't know off the top of my head on something like that. But if you talk to that idiot John Kay, he basically says Tiny Toons is a bastardization of Looney Tunes, which he is completely wrong.
God.
Tiny Toons is a loving homage to Looney Tunes, and they even have the Looney Tunes characters there.
Oh yeah.
As teachers at the Looniversity, Buster is not he is Bugs-like, and Bugs is his mentor, but.
See, as a kid, as a 10-year-old, when this came out, I thought, oh, this is Buster Bunny, this is Bugs' son, and somehow, even though they constantly say Buster and Babs, Bunny, no relation, as a kid, I always thought they were brother and sister, whatever else, but...
Well, yeah, I thought the same thing, too, because there was an episode, and God help me if I can remember what the episode was, the name of the episode, but... There was an episode where both of them were at home, and I'm like, and they're both getting yelled at by, you know, Babs' mom. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind that they aren't the offspring of the Looney Tunes because they need their own individual. And really, I mean, okay, 1990, we're 6 years previous to Space Jam. Which I believe, and again, I'm not looking up her character, I don't know, but I believe, was that the debut of Lola Bunny?
No, actually, she was in the show before that.
Okay.
Let me see, because they actually have it here on the Wikipedia page. I'm trying to see if it pulls it up to say... Oh, that's weird. Because it's saying that, it says here on Wikipedia, now again, taking that with a grain of salt, that her first appearance was in 1996's film Space Jam, but
that's what I thought. Yeah.
But Looney Tunes or Tiny Toons Adventures.
Oh, she was in the Looney Tunes show.
Yeah, but that was after Space Jam. This is obviously Wikipedia is wrong.
Yeah, let's see. Other appearance include a role in a reporter, director video of Tweety's High Flying Adventure. She appeared as playable character in the games Bugs Bunny and Lola Bunny, Operation Carrot Fetch, 1998. That's after Space Jam. What it is the early concept art. It had revealed that Babs, who was in Tiny Toons, her design was at least thought upon while designing Lola. So, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, but basically, you know, you've got Lola Bunny, you got Buster and Babs, you got Flucky Duck and Hampton J. Pig. You also have Foulmouth. You have Furball, who is... His mentor is supposed to be Sylvester.
Yeah.
And then you have Little Sneezer. I love Little Sneezer.
Oh, God.
I love Little Sneezer. But the thing with Furball and Little Sneezer is they remind me more of Tom and Jerry than Looney Tunes. Because Sylvester never really had that counterpart mouse. He had, you know, he had little mice and whatever else, and he had Jumbo the elephant and whatever else, you know, pretending to be a giant mouse or whatever with Jumbo's with Tom and Jerry. Jesus Christ, I'm...
See? Yeah.
Christ, it's all blurring together. Okay, so, no, Sylvester did not have Jumbo. That was Tom and Jerry. I get it. I'm wrong. Okay, so Sylvester was always chasing after mice, and he had his son with him. And that's when the baby kangaroo happened. I do know that was Sylvester.
Yeah.
And his son. But Sylvester never had a Jerry. Sylvester never had a quintessential mouse character. So while I do agree that Furball is an offshoot of Sylvester, I think he's more of an offshoot of Tom. And Sneezer is an offshoot of Jerry a little bit more than Sylvester and his son. I remember watching this show as a kid and just absolutely loving it. And people are going to sit here and say, and they'll probably comment on this episode, or they'll comment on iTunes, or they'll write us email or whatever else saying, oh, well, Tiny Toons is so dated now because it's, you know, always talks about being in the 90s and being hip and cool. And there's still a lot of things in Tiny Toons that are relatable today. Like, I think it's in season one, episode four, Test Stressed. After the opening, the usual opening song, you go up to Buster's little rabbit hole there, and he's getting ready, and he shows that he's going to be late, and he's like, "Hiya, Toonsters. Well, it's test day at Acme Lou. Got a motor, you know." So, I mean, it's that kind of stuff where, you know, the catchphrases that a lot of these characters had was just amazing.
Well, and I'm going to point this out. If anybody says it's dated, let's stop and look back on the original Looney Tunes. And I have to point this out because a lot of the original Looney Tunes had dated material that was pointing back to things, you know, characters of the 40s. You had references to Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra, and not like, you know, the older stuff that maybe you or I might have known, Mike, but like, you know, Frank Sinatra as young and virile.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Mae West remarks. So it's, yeah, you had dating going on there with it. You had this period piece, but, you know, I don't see it as being any different than what Tiny, I don't see Tiny Toons as being any different than Looney Tunes. Yeah.
No. I mean, I gave you a list, I think, of maybe 10 or 20 out of the 65, and I spent about 3.5-4 hours before we recorded this watching all of those episodes. Of course, because of the website that we go to that we use, and I'm not going to reveal it, even though they are on Facebook now that I found out. But it doesn't matter. I'm still not going to reveal what it is. Most people already know what the site is, but I just do not want to lose that resource. So I went on the site, and as I'm watching the episodes, I'm like, ooh, you know, music television of the 90s or life in the 90s and whatever else. And then it shows up as like 5 episodes before. I'm like, wait, this, I had to report to them. I'm like, there's something wrong with the Tiny Toons thing on season 1 because some episodes say it's 1 episode, like Promise Her Anything. One of the episodes showed Promise Her Anything, but it was a different titled episode. They were just labeled wrong or numbered wrong or whatever. I don't know. So, but it was one of those things where I spent a total of 3.5-4 hours today going through the season 1 episodes on that list. And just, it's not even really nostalgia because I remember watching the show. But really, my memories of watching Tiny Toons are of the Looney beginning. I remember that like it's yesterday.
Oh, my God. I remember seeing that when Fox, like, I want to say it was, yeah, Fox, or maybe it was WB. Well, anyway, they had a primetime premiere of that show. And I remember seeing it, and I went, oh, this is cool. How often do you see cartoons at, like, 8 o'clock at night? And I remember watching it and going, Oh, I'm so gonna watch this thing because it looked too funny. You know, it wasn't the standard Looney Tunes, which at the time I remember watching Looney Tunes as a kid and going, okay, this is kind of stupid, but okay, whatever. You know, ha 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 ha, Bugs is gonna blow up. You know, blow up Elmer Fudd type of thing. It wasn't as fun. Looney Tunes or Tiny Tunes, when I saw it, and they're piecing it together with the older characters, you know, Daffy Duck getting kicked out of Warner Brothers Studios, I was like, oh my God, this is great. This is what I wanted to see.
Philistines.
Yes.
Oh, you're the light of my life, my precious statuette. oh, hi there, folks. Yeah, the good folks at Warner Brothers wanted me to introduce this special episode of Tiny Toon Adventures. And, you know, of course I said, for you guys, anything, as long as I get paid. They hand him a check, and he drops it. It bounces, and he says, I do not accept checks.
Yeah.
It just, everything about the Looney beginning was absolutely fantastically well done. The animation, the character, the creation of the... It's not often in cartoons nowadays that you see the actual creation of a character in a show.
Oh, yeah.
Very rarely do we see that, if at all. You know, I just absolutely love that very first episode.
Oh, my favorite part of that, my absolute favorite part was when we get introduced to the villains and they break open that box, the do not open box. And obviously it's like a Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
And you see all these nasty villains coming out. And then Babs and Buster look over the edge and they're like, and Buster, or the, not Babs.
Buster. Buster Nutbaster. Wow. Damn, dude.
I know.
Buster looks over the edge and he says, "Hey, Babsy, come take a look at the leftovers."
Yeah. Montana Max with, you know, his fire and brimstone coming out, and Elmira, and I like the fact that they kind of listed Dizzy as a villain, but I really didn't see him as that.
Dizzy is not a villain. He is a ladies' man.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that, because I really didn't see him as, like, this villain. I'm like, really isn't, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they kind of roped him in, but Dizzy is, when you had Dizzy Devil cartoons, it was either he was part of Elmira's thing of Capture the Animals, or I mentioned it earlier about the Promise Her Anything episode. They're doing, you know, a junior prom at Acme Lou, and Dizzy comes with she's basically Fifi LaFoom, or not Fifi LaFoom. Who is the Red? Who's from the Droopy cartoons? Oh God, what is Neil? Neil is just yelling at his computer right now.
I'm sure.
You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. She's basically a blonde version of the chick that Droopy is always hanging around.
Right. It was like a Mae West type character.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you had that. You know what the funny thing is? I didn't get to mention this over on Talking About My Generation when we talked about portable games with the Game Gear. I think I mentioned it, but I don't, like, the first time outside of television that I saw a Tiny Toons episode was on the Game Gear.
Oh.
And I don't remember which episode it was, but I do remember seeing the opening on an actual Game Gear, because the Game Gear did have a TV tuner in it.
Yeah.
Or you could get an adapter. So I don't remember. Whatever. Yeah. I'm not here to talk about the games. But anyway, so there's that. You know, and because we've dedicated this episode and last week's episode, Duck Dodgers Season 1, to the memory of Joe Oleski, Plucky Duck. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm exploding with talent. You know, I'm not even close to being a Joe Oleski.
Yeah, obviously. But, you know, the one thing that I always I'll have the audio here somewhere, but when he says, "You can't pull this show off without me," right before that, he says, "Just a cottontail picking Menudo here." He says Menudo, and all as I can think of is friggin' Ricky Barton in Menudo.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, we got Plucky, you know, and he asks, you know, "So what's my role, you know, or just King?" Buster comes up to him. "No, you're a sidekick." Sidekick? No way. Hampton's the sidekick type. He's got all the earmarks for being a sidekick. Pulls Hampton out of wherever he was and pulls his ear and it says sidekick.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom Ruger, the guy is epic and amazing. Right before this started, he did A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. And we've talked about that on Tooncast Classic. We've talked about it over on Talking About My Generation. And regardless of how anyone feels about that cartoon, Tom Ruger's style and the way he has his writers write and the way he has his creators create is just amazing.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, there's an episode of Scooby-Doo where they have to go down a chute. And it basically pauses on the a Pup Named Scooby-Doo, I think I said that. But anyway, on A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, there's an episode where they have to go down a chute. Or they end up getting, you know, hit by a trapdoor or something. And it basically pauses the screen as they're going down. Basically, you know, kind of like the old Looney Tunes things. You know, kind of one-sided, isn't it? There's basically a sign there that says, hey kids, look, it's a classic shoot gag, you know, it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it brings that humor, and his team brings that humor to this here with Tiny Toons. And they are able to do so many things by making these characters their own, but they still have the influences of the classic Looney Tunes characters. They are... Buster is no Bugs.
No.
Babs is unlike any of the Looney Tunes characters. Plucky he's kind of like Daffy, but he has his moments. He is his own character, but I would say out of all of them, he is the most closely. I mean, Buster has wisecracks just like Bugs did.
Oh yeah,
you know Hampton. I don't ever remember Porky being the straight guy. Oh. Not saying that, you know what I mean. Like, it just depended on what you were doing with Porky and who he was acting opposite in the Looney Tunes stuff. But
he was, you know, Hampton was great though. I mean, just the fact that they gave him the neurotic role, you know, of, oh my God, everything has to be super clean. You know, I'm obsessed with that. And here he's supposed to be a pig living in a pigsty with mud and dirt all over the place. Mm-hmm. Complete opposites. They did a great, great job with that.
Yeah.
You know, especially, especially when you get into some of his family, which that I know we'll get into when we talk about, how I spent my summer vacation. So
yeah, that's going to be a whole other episode because I, outside of A Loony Beginning and a few of the other episodes, that is the only thing I really remember. And when I rewatched it recently, not for this recording, but it was on, I think when the Hub actually was still the Hub and not Discovery.
God, yeah.
Like, you know, it had aired on there and I watched it and I'm like, this is nothing like I thought it was. Like, it's nothing for, like, I know they go on a vacation. I know they go on a road trip. It's basically a vacation parody, but it isn't anything like I didn't realize it was all Plucky and Hampton for the most part of the special there.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not complaining about that at all. I'm just saying that I just wasn't really sure about, you know, as far as that goes. For those that don't know, jumping on the casting couch here, Charlie Adler was Buster Bunny. He was also, let's see, Yosemite Sam in The Wide World of Elmira. Joe Alesky was Plucky, Batman and Gangbusters, George Washington's Ghost, Hugo, Marvin the Martian, Pete Puma, Porky Pig in Music Day. Speedy Gonzalez, he actually voiced Steven Spielberg in K-Acme TV. Sylvester, Wile E. Coyote, Yosemite Sam in Gangbusters. Danny Cooksey was Montana Max.
Yes, the little John Head from Different Strokes, Montana Max.
Hey, it works.
Oh, yeah.
John Kasser was Buster in several episodes because there were only a few episodes that Charlie did not do it. Maurice LaMarche was Dizzy Devil, Abraham Lincoln's Ghost, Dick Clark, Jaxter, Orson Welles, Robin Killams, Tim Burton, Tom Ruger in Yosemite Sam. Jess McNeil is Babs Bunny, Babs' mom, Baby Duff, Barbara Bush, Julia Roberts, Madonna, Mama Bear, Monty's mother, Plucky's mother, Roseanne Barr, Whoopi Goldberg, Witch Hazel, and What Makes Toons Tick. You had Gail Mathis as Shirley the Loon. Sherry Stoner voiced Shirley McVain. Don Messick was Hampton, J-Pig, and Bosco. Candy Milo was Sweetie. Rob Paulson was Arnold the Pitbull.
Yeah.
He was also Foulmouth. I love Foulmouth. We'll talk about him
a little bit. I'm so gosh darn, you know, I'm so excited to be out here and, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You had, let's see, Kath Soucie as Sneezer. You had Tree Summer as Amira and Mary Melody. You had Frank Welker as Go-Go. Oh, Frank. Go-Go the Dodo. If there was anybody that could ever, and no one really can, but if there was anybody that could ever replace one of Mel's voices, Frank Welker as Go-Go.
Oh, yeah.
Simply amazing. And I believe I read somewhere that he is the only one, Go-Go Dodo is the only character in the entire series that is actually a descendant of the last of the Dodos from the original Porky and Wacky Lane.
I would believe that.
Yeah.
You had a bunch of other actors. You had Michael Bell as Batman in Hollywood Plucky. You have Jeff Bennett in Batman and the Return of Bat Duck. Bob Bergen was Porky Pig in Animaniacs and Hero Hampton. Jeff Bergman was Bugs and Daffy and Foghorn, Dr. IQ High, Duck Vader, Elmer Fudd and Her Wacky Highness. And it lists them all by various episodes and things like that as far as which ones were in.
Well, the two that I was surprised to see was Noel Blanc being Bugs Bunny in the Tiny Toons Christmas special, mm-hmm. Porky Pig in Fields of Honey and Acme Bowl, and the Tasmanian Devil in You Asked For It Part 1. And then, of course, Casey Kasem playing Flaky Flakums.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was a problem. I'll bet you that was, you know, Masick going, hey, Casey, you want some work here for a day?
Yeah, good old Casey. Oh, man, I miss that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, that's the cast. Did you have a favorite character as a kid, and do you have one still now? Is it the same character, or is it different?
Oh, man. See, it's really kind of a toss-up. I had a couple because I had, you know, Buster and Babs were my favorites because they were kind of no nonsense. They were screwing around, both building off of each other, and then as just a kind of weird little aside was Calamity Coyote, and the reason for Calamity was because he was. The one episode that I saw of him where he's doing this whole narration, and it's basically he's he's Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
You know, he does the whole monologue like you hear Woody Allen doing for start of.
Oh, Mr. Director? No, that's Animaniacs.
Totally
what episode? What episode was this?
Oh God, it was like in season 3. I
think. Oh okay, no, we're only talking about season 1.
Yeah. But I mean, Calamity was still probably still kind of cool to see him in there. So, Go-Go, I gotta admit, much as I like Frank Welker, I didn't care for Go-Go when I was a kid. He just seemed too weird and creepy to me.
I think my favorite line from him actually happens in A Loony Beginning, where they shoot him off to Wacky Land, and he basically says, "Home, surreal home."
Yes.
I just absolutely love. What I love about Go-Go is that, okay, so we all know the original Last of the Dodos. He had one voice, and to me, it was like a Jimmy Durante kind of sounding voice, even though I know it was Mel doing the voice, but it was kind of like Jimmy Durante a little bit. I always thought it was. And with Go-Go, it allowed us to hear very, because Frank, just like Mel, Frank is a guy of multiple thousands of different voices and sound effects. And what Frank Welker can go into a studio, sit down next to his fellow cast members, without even really making a facial tick, he somehow can project a cricket on the other side of the room, and the sound engineer thinks it's something on his board. I mean, the guy is a sound effect genius. So with Go-Go, even as a kid, I liked him because of the fact that it was Frank being able to do so many different types of voices for one character.
Yeah.
You know, for me, my favorite as a kid was Buster, Buster and Babs both. Today, I kind of like them all because they're just—it's not even nostalgia. Looking back on it, like I said, I have nostalgia for the being able to have remembered watching the show. I just don't have a lot of vivid memories of what episode I watched where. I just know the characters, so I have nostalgia more for the characters than I do for, you know. I did a whole podcast on Transformers G1. I can name you almost every single favorite episode out of that entire 98 episode cartoon series, but I can't do that with Tiny Toons. I can name off a few things about several different episodes that I remember. Everybody remembers Plucky as Bat Duck and all that and everything else. And
I loved Hollywood Plucky. Hollywood Plucky was awesome. Because you had all these stars come in. Batman coming with the Batmobile. I mean, come on.
And this was right around that turn where, you know, Warner Brothers was hitting it big with things like Batman and Batman Returns and, you know, Home Alone 45 and all that.
No, we didn't get to 45 yet. So I just absolutely adored most of the characters now. As a kid, like I said, it was probably Buster and Babs. Talking about the music here, since we're still talking about the cast, voice director extraordinaire Andrea Romano auditioned over 1,200 voices for the series.
Whoa.
And chose more than a dozen main voice actors. The role of Buster was given to Charlie Adler, who gave the role as producer Tom Ruger said a great deal of energy. The role of Babs was given to Tress. Writer Paul Dini said that McNeil was good for the role because she could do both Babs' voice and the voices of her impressions. Joe Alesky and Don Messick were given Plucky and Hampton, respectively. Dan Cooksey played Montana Max. And according to Paul Dini, was good for the role because he could do a tremendous mean voice. Cooksey was also the only voice actor in the cast who was not an adult at the time.
I've seen a clip of him actually doing the Montana Max laugh, and it was something they did on like a behind the scenes or behind the music or something like that type of thing for E! Entertainment, and to see him do it, it was hilariously creepy. I mean, it was just like he's got this crazy look in his eyes, and as he's laughing, it's just like, oh, this is so good, this is so cool to see it.
Yeah, you'll have to show me that because I don't remember seeing that. So for the music, during the development of the show, Steven Spielberg said that Warner Brothers would use a full orchestra which some thought too expensive and impossible, but they ended up agreeing. Warner Brothers selected Bruce Broughton to write the theme, for which he would win a Daytime Emmy, along with Tom Ruger and Wayne Katz, who both worked with Broughton on the lyrics and served as music supervisor. In addition to scoring 11 episodes, Broughton chose 26 other composers to score each different episodes: Steve and Julie Berenstain, Stephen Bramson, Don Davis, John Dabney, Carl Johnson, and a lot of these, some of these names I do recognize because they've worked with Shirley Walker over the years when she was still alive at the time.
Yeah.
I just love the music for Tiny Toons. I love the music cues. I love the ins and outs of it. The theme song, after watching so many episodes at once, kind of gets on my nerves, but that's because if you marathon it, you know, that'll happen. But overall, the theme song in general, absolutely love it. I love how they're able to change it. That's what's original. We'll talk about that as we go down the line here. Not today, but as we get to season two. I think it's Night Glory that they completely changed. It's still the main tune.
Right.
It's still the overall Tiny Toons music, but the lyrics they changed to fit the Night Glory special. And I just absolutely love that. I thought that was great. So getting into some episodes here out of season one, we already talked about the Looney Beginning a bunch of times. Episode four has... it's called Test Dress, Never Too Late to Loon, which is basically Plucky asking Shirley the Loon to turn him into Albert Einstein to help him pass his math test.
Yeah.
You got Little Sneezer, Sylvester the Cat tests Furball by asking him to catch a mouse, and the mouse sneezes repeatedly and thwarts Furball's attempts to catch him. And then the infamous to bleep or not to bleep.
Oh.
Foul Mouth tries to ask Shirley on a date, but she shuns him because of his profane language. Buster then tries to control Foul Mouth after discovering that he does not swear around young children. I love the Foul Mouth episode because it's Rob Paulsen getting to be Rob Paulsen with bleeps.
Oh, yeah. And he said when he was doing that they had to bleep out so much, and he just started on a roll, and he was like, and they came to him and they're like, dude, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, we're bleeping it out, right? And they're like, yeah, but all we're hearing is bleeps. And I guess they had. He said he had to go through and do it a couple of times because he got too foul.
Yep. So, boy. You got... it's Buster Bunny time, which is basically a parody of Howdy Doody. And this is where one of the best lines of Elmira, Buster, and Plucky happens. You know, oh, here's our favorite puppet pal, Plucky. This is my role in today's show. We don't want the duck. He's a stinky goo head. We want the cute bunny. And then Buster's like, the Elmiras are revolting. And Plucky goes, what else is new? Absolutely love that. This episode, it's Buster Bunny Time, has Bag That Bunny, which is Elmira paying Calamity to help her catch Buster. Despite several attempts, he fails to catch Buster and is then taken home by Elmira instead. Lifestyles of the Rich and Rotten. In this parody of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, Buster and Babs attempt to interview Montana Max. And this is truly where I think that the Envelania theme song came from.
Oh, God.
This is really where I truly think the Animaniacs Envelania theme came from. The Anvil Chorus. Anvil's repeatedly fallen Plucky during playing of Giuseppe's Verdi's The Anvil Chorus. The finale features cannon shooting at Plucky to the tune of Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture.
And I love the fact that they did something like this, because this was like a running thing throughout the the Looney Tunes versions, you know? Like when you had What's Opera Doc? I mean, come on, how many of us learned classical music and opera from Looney Tunes?
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect example of it.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the other episodes I watched that we watched for this, welcome to the Acme Acres Zone. I think the best part about the Acme Acres Zone episodes are the wraparounds where Buster and Babs are talking like Rod Sterling from the Twilight Zone.
Yes.
I mean, the cartoons themselves are okay. I don't... excuse me. I don't dislike them, but...
Yeah, I mean, the whole bit is like the bacon strip where, you know, Hampton has to sneak back in because he has no clothes. His clothes got stolen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess that's kind of funny, but...
Mm-hmm. Then we had Promise or Anything, which is basically Buster asking Babs to the prom at the last minute. Everybody else has got a date. Buster can't dance, so he learns Bugs' old vaudeville kind of dance routine that would always... And all I can think of when I'm watching Buster do this is, I know this is sad, folks, all I can think of is Elmer in a Dress, because that's where I remember those dance moves from, is that short from Looney Tunes. Oh, God.
And I'm trying to think, because there was an episode later, and I want to say it was the MTV episode, where later on we actually get to see Buster, and he's singing along to... Do You Love Me Now That I Can Dance? And he's like doing this whole thing to Babs, and he's like doing all these dance moves, and she's like looking at him like he's absolutely crazy and just kind of like, yeah, whatever. So it kind of ties into that, and I love that.
The other episode that I absolutely love that I still watched for this was Cinemaniacs. Cinemaniacs is epic because this is basically Buster and Babs theater hopping at the multiplex. And the films that they theater hop to is Super Babs, Duck Trek, and Pasadena Jones. Because we are homaging and remembering Joe Oleski, his Kirk as Plucky?
Oh.
Genius.
Yeah.
Just pure bloody genius. All of the actors portraying and mimicking the Star Trek cast. Just awesome. Just simply awesome. Danny Cooksey in Superbabs as Lex Luthor. That was so... I did like that. That was pretty cool. But we've all... You know, the reason why I think this episode appeals to a lot of us that grew up with this show is because everybody in the 90s theater hopped as kids. Theater hopped as kids.
Yeah.
I mean, we all did as teenagers and stuff like that. Citizen Max, how can you not like Citizen Max? It's a Citizen Kane parody.
Well, you know that Maurice LaMarche was just like, he was looking at this and going, oh my god, I have to do Orson Welles. I have to let me do stuff for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing is, Max, they assume that Max is yelling Acme, and he's not yelling Acme, he's yelling Acne. But yeah. Okay, so then we had in season one, we've got, Sawdust and Toonsel. Go-Go Dodo and other Wacky Land characters are kidnapped by a circus owner and have to be rescued by Buster and Babs and Plucky. I like that one. It's all right. Animaniacs, which has nothing to do with the actual show.
Yeah, I remember seeing that and thinking, wow, did I miss this episode? And I remember actually seeing the episode, but I didn't remember the name as being linked to it.
Yeah. Buster, this is the episode where Buster shows Plucky how to make a cartoon, which, again, I think this is really cool.
Yes.
Not only do you have this in a Looney Beginning where you have them show you one way of making a cartoon and getting a show on together and whatever else, you have this now where you're actually showing the process in a very cartoonish and funny way.
I will just kind of put a little thing in here because I remember seeing there was an episode of Phineas and Ferb where they kind of did this.
Yeah.
And when I saw it on Phineas and Ferb, this episode, the Animaniacs episode, was immediately what I flashed back to.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was them going through and making jokes and, you know, Go-Go Dodo being the storyboard artist and all sorts of stuff all over. This is what I remembered, not anything with Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah. But the Animaniacs episode of Tiny Toon Adventures, the coolest thing about this, the best line out of the whole thing. This is revenge for all those rabbit season signs, isn't it, you sadist?
that and it's short. You know, it was like...
We love it. It wins. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That was classic.
There's an episode, Dating Acme Acres Style, which is interesting. University Days, Best O' Plucky Duck Day, Hero Hampton, Whale's Tales, Ask Mr. Popular, Son of the University Days, Fairy Tales for the 90s. Who Bumped Bugs Bunny was probably a favorite of mine as well. That's basically the one with, it's a parody of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but Sappy Stanley tries to eliminate Bugs and frame Daffy for the crime. Ooh. Luckily, Buster and Babs are on the case. It's funny how they are able to work in all of these characters that, it's like, oh, I was more, you know, in this episode, you know, I was more famous than that guy. And they basically create a whole character saying that he was around back then. It's the same thing when they did Slappy with her arch nemesis and whatever else. And, oh, my God, I can't wait till we start doing, because eventually we're going to do Animaniacs season reviews. The one I remember from Slappy and Skippy, the best one they ever did, was Critical Condition. Critical Condition is the one where they go after Siskel and Ebert. May they rest in peace.
I probably have seen it. I don't remember. I can't think of it to like me better. Oh yes. Okay.
You know.
Yes.
Because it has Mary Heartless in it. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. You had Tiny Toon Music Television, which this is where I knew of They Might Be Giants' version of Istanbul, Not Constantinople. I've had that stuck in my head for 5 friggin' years.
Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Yeah.
Yep. That and then you had Particle Man. Right. I remember Particle Man and seeing Busy Devil playing the accordion, and that was like, it was a stupid thing, but that's what stuck in my mind for Particle Man.
Yep. You had, let's see, what's another good one? Yeah, the other one we had was K-Acme TV, which is kind of the last one we'll kind of talk about. It's a collection of TV parodies starting the Tiny Toons cast. Some of the targets are Super Mario Brothers, Jeopardy, I Love Lucy, The Wonder Years, Honey, We Shrunk the Kids, People's Court, and Lucky Charms. The Lucky Charms, the Plucky Charms, oh my god, the Plucky Worms or whatever, oh yeah. No. As much as I love Plucky, and as how awesome he is, and how awesome Joe is, I'm sorry, no. The Mario Brothers, the Super Plucky-O Brothers, that was hilarious. I love that. That was great. Are there any other ones that I haven't brought up in Season 1 that you want to talk about?
I'm trying to think. It probably, just part of the problem is I can't think of, like, some of the ones that showed up later. I don't want to mention stuff that's in Season
2. Well, yeah, we don't want to mention Season 2 or Season 3. Because we'll get to those eventually.
I know there's, like, there's Baby Plucky, but that's... I think
that's in Season 2 because I have not seen him. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Overall, going back and looking at Tiny Toons Season 1, out of all the episodes we watched, can you safely say that this is still a very, very awesome cartoon?
Oh, God, yes. I would sit my niece down in front of this. You know, she's 15 now. I would love for her to sit here and watch this show. And yeah, I understand that some of the jokes would probably be over her head because she'd be like, I don't get how this interfaces, but she would absolutely adore this. My youngest niece and nephew oh my god, they're 7 and 5. Good god. Yeah, if they were to sit down in front of the TV and watch this, they'd love it. They would absolutely get a kick out of it. And I still think that, you know, kids today will still find this as just enjoyable as much as I did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't. All right. So we have let's see here. Baby Plucky. When did he first...
I am a superstar. A super duper nova star. That's what I am. I'm exploding with talent.
We're going to take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk a little bit about Baby Plucky and how the podcast went down the hole.
For instance, take Foulmouth. Please. He's been mooning over Shirley the Loon for weeks. He'd love to ask her out. But Foulmouth has just one little problem.
I spilled milk all over my manners.
Did I say little problem?
How about if I had a nickel for every time I spilled some of my clothes of their rich guy? I don't believe it. I got lunch all soggy and... Pardon me.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed. Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megatron and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right, we're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the Feeny Call.
Yeah, sorry, folks. Baby Plucky went down the Season 2 hole, so we'll have to talk about Baby Plucky next time.
Yeah.
Because he does show up in season 2. Overall, I love watching this show. I can't wait till we actually get to be able to actually watch all of the episodes. I'm sure there might be some we skip, but the whole idea of the season passes here on Tooncast Beyond is that we do get to watch all of them. And it's just 65 episodes. That's a lot of cartoons, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, I might as well have created a Tiny Toon Adventures a separate podcast outside of Tooncast, and if we're going to do that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tiny Toon Adventures Season 1, the music, the animation, the acting, the voice acting, the characters, all simply, simply amazing. Even after all these years, I still can give it a 4 out of 5 stars. There are certain episodes and certain gags that kind of rub me the wrong way now, but yeah. It's still mostly very, very well done. What about you?
I would say probably 4.5 stars out of 5, just because I loved it so much. It's one that's still good even after 20-plus years.
Yeah. All right, folks, that's going to do it for episode 65 of Tooncast Beyond. What do you got coming up over on Talking About My Generation?
Well, I have got, I'm not sure quite yet what we're going to be talking about next. I was going to do, something involving a giant boulder and, going back into the past, Nazis, and that's just not quite working out yet. So I'll have something pull out here for everybody. But if you want to check us out, you can look for us over on mygenerationpodcast.com.
How'd you know she was a Nazi, Dad? She talks in her sleep, son. Oh, boy. The good old Jones boys.
Yes.
All right. As for us, you can find at Tooncast Beyond on Twitter. You can find at Geekcast Radio on Twitter. I am at TFCU. And Mike, what is your Twitter?
At Sprzout, Sprzout.
I just shake my head, folks.
I know.
Next time around, I believe it's going to be Steve Megatron and I talking about, because it is episode 66 of Tooncast Beyond, we're going to have an Order 66, and we're going to be talking about some of the Lego Star Wars animated things. Stuff like the Yoda Chronicles, the new Yoda Chronicles, the Padawan Menace, the Empire Strikes Out, that kind of stuff. So that's what's coming up there. After that, I'm not sure. Tooncast Beyond might be going on a small hiatus. I do still plan on doing a lot of episodes this year, but I've got some other stuff going on in quote-unquote real life, so I've got to... Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while since I've pretty much been podcasting nonstop since my mom passed away almost a year ago. Kind of like what I used to do before she got sick, but at this point, I am running like anywhere between 10 and 15 different shows on GCRN, and I gotta prioritize and stretch out content and all that stuff, and Tooncast Beyond has had a good run here. I do know that I do have plans up to at least episode 70 for now, and then maybe after that we'll get to 25 days of Toon Beyond Christmas this year, because I know now with that website resource that we have, I have no problem finding all the Christmas cartoons I need to find now.
Yeah.
So, Beyond Good, Beyond Evil, Beyond Your Wildest Imagination, this has been Tooncast Beyond, episode 65, and I think we're going to let the Tiny Toons close it out. See you next time, folks.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe, from the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth and Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get...
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
Once again, thank you everyone for listening to Tooncast Beyond, episode 65. As I said in the beginning, in the little vocal there at the very beginning of the show, Tooncast Beyond is going to be on hiatus from episode 65 until the probably September or so, August, September. We're basically going to take the summer off, folks. And during the summer, even though we're not producing or we're not publishing episodes, even though we're not giving you episodes, we are going to be producing, and production-wise, episodes are still going to be recorded and stuff like that, even though I said I need to focus my attention on that big 104 Days of Summer project.
I do still plan on recording episode 66, 67, 67.5, episode 68, 69, and 70. Because after episode 70, we are going to have the 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas 2016. Now, people, if you go back to Tooncast Classic, episode 30, we did a holiday show, okay? It's not the best audio. It was a number of years ago. It was 2009, 2010, so it was 6, 7 years ago, something like that. That's the reason, because that audio is not the best. That's the reason that I wanted to start doing 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas. And in the first annual 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas, I have 25 different episodes that are going to be Christmas-themed cartoon episodes or movies. I actually have been planning this 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas for about 3 years now. About 3 years ago, I went and took a list from Wikipedia of every United States released animated cartoon I could think of that was Christmas themed. I made a list and I got 50 podcast episodes out of it. So basically, you're going to get 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas 2016, and then next year, 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas 2017. So, just to give you a little preview, I'll give you a preview of the first 5 days of this year's 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas. Day 1, The Year Without a Santa Claus. Day 2, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Day 3, Dexter's Lab, Dexter versus Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S. Boy, I can't spell. Day 4, Johnny Bravo, Twas the Night. Day 5, The Powerpuff Girls, Twas the Fight Before Christmas. So, even though as of right now, episode 65 is going to be it on the publishing end, we are still going to be getting stuff recorded and ready for 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas. We're going to be getting episode 66 to 70 recorded as well. How that's going to go is from August to November, we're going to air 66, 67, 68, 69, 70. After episode 70 is when 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas 2016 will start. And then after that, we may take a few weeks off, and we're going to come back next year in 2017 with episodes 71 to 80 and 81 to 90 and all that stuff. So I don't want anyone to fret. Just because Tooncast Beyond is going away for a little bit for now, we are still going to be getting stuff done behind the scenes. And it's all for you guys. It's all to give you guys the content that I know that you want. It's for myself. I love doing this stuff. I love talking about cartoons with my friends, with Steve Megatron, with my girlfriend Spicy, with Doug Abel, with Kevin Optimus Solo, with whoever the hell else I can get to talk about Christmas cartoons, or whatever cartoons in general. I do absolutely enjoy it. That's why I do podcasting. I podcast mainly for myself, but I try my best to give my listeners and fans and friends, you know, stuff that they want to hear about or talk about and that kind of thing. So thank you so much to everyone who has been a part of Tooncast Beyond, and even all of you who were a part of Tooncast Classic. I mean, that was 2 years of my life. That was one of the three flagship shows that launched the Geekcast Radio Network back in June of 2009. So, thank you so much to everybody, and we will see you in the fall with episode 66, Lego Star Wars Cartoons Part 1.
Hey, come back! You can't go without us!
Pipe down, Wayne.